Just to let you know, we've been praying for Debbie Hutflitz, who's been in the hospital, and I still don't know what the cause was or why she's there. She's still in intensive care, but she is improving. And I just wanted to encourage you that your prayers are definitely making a difference, and just keep it up for her. Okay? Okay. How many of you were not here last week to hear the message? Uh-huh. Let me get that. I'm taking a note here. I'm going to send it to Santa. Well, last week we talked about Peter. We kind of took a little review of his life, and we can't go over that all right now. So if you want to listen to the podcast to find out what it was about, please do that. But at the end of the message, these are the questions that everybody got presented with that I hope you've been thinking about. Have you ever started out in faith, failed, and then just quit? You ever put your foot in your mouth, been humiliated, and now you feel too intimidated to speak? You left the call from the Lord, and you went back to life as normal. Consider this. Are you all in? Does he have all of your heart, all of your life? Do you feel you may have broken God's heart, so you're disqualified? Did you fail God, maybe even spoke negative about him, so that disqualifies you? If that's the case, everyone was encouraged to go home and talk to the Lord about that. And I know many of you have told me that you have done that, and it made a difference. But, you know, we need to do that kind of regular, do a little checkup to see how our love life with the Lord is doing and how our faith is doing. But I want to continue with this. The title of this is Partnering with God's DNA. Because Peter writes in the Second Peter chapter 1, which he wrote shortly before he was martyred under the rule of Nero in Rome. He writes these words. This is from the man who put his foot in his mouth, whose faith did fail, who did go back at one time to life as normal, but was totally in love with the Lord. And the Lord brought him full circle around to do everything that God had for him to do. So I just want to read you, this is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first four verses, but I want to read it from the Passion Translation. And I want you to hear Peter. He's in his 60s. He knows his end is coming because Jesus had told him what it was going to be, and he even records in 2 Peter that he knows that this is the time. In the past, there arose false prophets. Wait a minute. Oh, I have the wrong chapter. I thought, that doesn't sound like my Peter. That's somebody else's. Okay. Here it goes. This letter is from Simon Peter, a loving servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to those who have been given a faith as equally as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you, Hot Rock Church. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. Partnership with the divine nature. We can partner with God's DNA. We can partner. We can share with what makes God, God, with his character, with his goodness. He wants us to partner. And this is written from a man who did it all right and did it all wrong. So no matter where you are in that, you can partner with God's DNA. So we're going to talk today about how to do that. And what does that mean? And how do we get all these promises working in our life? Well, I think Peter makes it pretty clear. It's through the knowledge of God. He says that in verse 2, grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge. What do you know about God? Is what you know truth? Or is what you know maybe told to you by somebody who didn't really know God? Or maybe what things you think you know, do you think you know because of an experience? You had an experience and therefore you made a little note on your heart, well, God must be like this. So this knowledge that we have, he says in verse 3 that through this knowledge we're called to glory and virtue. What is this knowledge? Is it just having memorized scriptures? This knowledge is getting things out of the Bible, the words, but it's also an experience. To just get the facts and never have an experience with the love of God would be so sad. He wants us to have experiential knowledge of who he is. And I believe that as we partake of his divine nature, his love has got to be number one. That's his whole foundation. That's who he is. That is absolutely, that's his DNA. That has to be in every single cell, in every atom, that everything about him is love. And we might be thinking, oh no, not another talk on the love of God. If that should be your thought, you really need to hear this. Because once you know the love of God, you go, yay, more on the love of God, because it's endless, it's bottomless. There is no, you can't get to the bottom of it, you can't get to the top of it, you can't get to the width of it. There's never an end to it. It is amazing. So let's look at what we think of when we think of God and his love and ask ourselves, is it based on truth? Maybe something bad happened to you and you wonder, do you still wonder why that bad thing happened if God loves me? Now I just want to tell you, if that's your thought, you don't have to deny it, you don't have to be embarrassed, but you just have to admit, you know, I think like that. That would mean you don't fully understand his love. What about when you look back at situations that happened in your life? Do you ask the question, where was God? If he really loved me, why didn't he show up there? Where was he in that? You don't know him. You don't know him. Are you fully assured that you are the object of his affection? You. He looks at you. His refrigerator is just your pictures everywhere. He wrote your name on the palm of his hand. You know how when you're a kid in school and you like a boy, or you like a girl if you're a boy, and you write her name down or you write his name down? He's got yours. It says so. It's etched in his hand, the same hand that held the nails for you, your name. Do you know the depth of that love? Have you experienced it? Or is it just up here in your head and you can quote all the scriptures? You know, that's a frustrating, frustrating place to be. And I have talked to people. I remember one woman I ministered to for many years. She could quote every love scripture. She quoted more than I even knew were there. But she said, but I can't feel it. I can't feel it. That's a sad place to be, and that is not where God wants us. He wants us to not only know it, but experience it. So if that's you, let's kind of pinpoint how we got there. Did you know that every good and perfect gift comes from God? That's what He gives. Good gifts, perfect gifts. So anything that came to your life that was not goodness wasn't God. You have to know that in your heart. You have to absolutely know that in your heart. Did you know that you were on His mind before the foundations of the world? Is that not amazing? I mean, before there ever was a creation, He knew you would love Him someday, you would believe in Jesus. Did you know that? When I found that out, I could look back in my life where I wondered where He was, and I could see Him there. I could see, so that's why I lived through that. So that's why that thing didn't kill me. You were loving me. I didn't know it. I wasn't feeling it. But just think back. You might have done something stupid and you should have died. Obviously, you didn't. You're here. God loves you. God loves you. You can never look at a cross, whether it's empty like this one here, or if you go into a Roman Catholic church and you see Jesus on the cross. You can't look at a cross and not know He loves you. He loves you. Sometimes I think we hear these scriptures and we read things and we go through them so fast, we don't take time to think, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean for me? Sometimes we don't understand the love, and it's like He can't get it through to us because we get hung up on the Old Testament, and it looks like that God back there, He had a lot of bad days. Now the God in the New Testament, He's pretty good. But then even the New Testament tells us God is one, and they are one. Can you explain to yourself some of those stories? I used to read them and go, whoa. I could understand fear of the Lord. I thought it was being scared of Him because He's so big He could get me. I mean, that's just, if that's our thought at all, if it's at all there, we've got to answer some questions so that we can go past that and experience His love. I remember after I got born again, having been raised in a church that was, I thought, very legalistic. You know, you had to do things this way. If you did not do things this way, probably you're going to hell. So I used to think, well, God had a lot of bad people in the Old Testament and He had to deal with them. And then Jesus came and He paid the price for sin, so God got over being angry about sin, and now He's good. But the truth is, it's the same God all the way through. Our vision is just clogged. It doesn't see things properly. So how do we look at the Old Testament to get the real picture that God is love? How do we look at it? We must look at it through Jesus. If you believe Jesus died for you, you believe He went in the tomb, you believe He rose from the dead, if you believe He is the Son of God, this whole book talks about Him. And now you can go back in the Old Testament and you can see things a little differently. But you must first understand that Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. There are not a good God and a bad God. He's not like Jekyll and Hyde. He's always been good. Just look at creation. He has always been good. Do you know He made this whole universe and then said to Adam and Eve, here you go. You rule, you reign over all the animals. I give you dominion. I give you authority. It's for you. Do you know he could have made everything in black and white? You know why he did colors? He loves us. He said he makes all things for us to enjoy. I was just looking out the window the other day, and there's these beautiful cardinals just sitting there eating the little berries off of some bush. And I thought, wow, Lord, I'm so grateful that you made them red. And the blue jay that's wanting to get in and horn him out, he's a beautiful blue. And you made my eyes so that they can differentiate between blue and red and greens. We can see all the beautiful colors. Why did you do that? That's what love does. Love just blesses you. It just blesses you. He loves you. So when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, if you look at Jesus, did he ever do anything unloving? Did he ever make anybody sick? Did he ever say, you know, you really ought to be dead, you Pharisees? Oh, you're out of here. No, he didn't. He loved him. He loved him. Hebrews tells us in chapter 1 that he's the express image of the Father. I remember reading that and going, but Lord, I don't get it. Because when I read some of the stuff in the Old Testament, you don't look too good. Can you please explain it to me? And you know what? When you have questions like that, please just ask him. You might not get your answer that, you know, he might not send you a text right away, because, you know, he's busy sending me text. but he will get you. He will get you so you can see clearly. I remember the day he opened my eyes to see his goodness. In the Old Testament, if you just turn to Deuteronomy 4, I want to share this with you, because if you need to see his goodness back there, this is what did it for me. For many years, we're going to go to chapter 5. I would read through the Bible every year. I'd start and I'd just read the whole thing. And I always struggled with some of the law. Some of the prophets I didn't get. Some of them I still don't get everything. But you know what? The more you stick with it, and the more you talk to him about it, he helps you to understand. So I was going through Deuteronomy, and I was probably whining a little bit, like, oh, brother, why did you make this book so long? Lord, I just want to get through so I can check it off my list. I did Deuteronomy. I know there's some of you out there, you like to check those things off your list. Dun, 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 dun. Yep. Okay. So, Deuteronomy, I got to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I heard God's heart. Verse 29. Oh, that they, being Israel, had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it would be well with them and with their children forever. I looked up the word fear. I don't think I had ever looked it up before. And it means to be in awe, honor, reverence of him. It doesn't mean scared. I said, well, Lord, I never knew the fear of the Lord didn't mean being scared of you. Oh, and he wanted them to keep the commandments so that things would go well with them. It's like a parent saying, you know, Johnny, don't put your hand on the burner on the stove because it's on high. You'll get burned. You didn't make a rule so that you're mean to him, you're restricting him, you're not letting him have any freedom. You love him. And that's what God was saying. I love you so much. I want it to be well with you and your kids, not just today, forever. And then I went on to chapter 6, and it says, you shall love the Lord your God. This is verse 5. This is his heart. His heart didn't change from Old to New Testament. His heart did not change. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So he wants that whole person. And these words which I command you today, I want them to be in your heart. See, not just our heads, but in your heart. And teach them to your children diligently. And talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, blessings you didn't earn, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. It was like the pages were illuminated with red, and I could see his heart. He only wanted to bless them. He only wanted to bless them. He only wants to bless us. That's who he is. He's good. His love is good. Can you trust it? Will you trust it? That's his question he's going to ask us. Will you trust my love for you? No matter what happens, trust my love. Trust my love. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 22, you're going to understand that this is the same God in the Old Testament as that's in the New Testament. Matthew 22, verse 37, it had started out in verse 34, that a lawyer came and asked him, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus totally agreed with his father from Deuteronomy. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second like unto it is, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Love. He wants our love, but he doesn't want just our love. He wants us to receive his love. It is so amazing. Are you a good receiver? He wants you to be a good receiver. After he showed me in Deuteronomy and I saw his heart, I went to a women's retreat that weekend, and we were getting to know each other, and then we had to say, so what's your favorite book of the Bible? And I said, right now, it's Deuteronomy. What? Deuteronomy? Oh my gosh. I said, love is on every page. God loves us. God loves us. He loves his people. He loves us. He's crazy about us. And then one of the days I read Ezekiel, which that's always a challenge for me to get through. I don't understand it all, and I still don't. But one thing I got out of it is God said over and over and over and over and over, I want the people to know by experience I'm their God. Wow. He wants us to know by experience. I could have gone on with worship forever today. It was awesome. Awesome. But he wants us to know. Do you know do you experience his love? Or is it only up here? Or do you only hear somebody else talk about it and you say, I don't experience anything like that. I want to help you with that. Because wherever it is you are with that love, there's more. Because there's no end to it. So if you've tapped in, and maybe you've been walking with the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, and you go, I got this love thing down pat. I want to say, honey, he's got more. Because there's no end to him. Otherwise, we get so bored in heaven. We're not going to be bored because we're going to get to see every little facet of who he is and his love. I want you to see, as we look back at 2 Peter and we have experiential knowledge of who he is, and that DNA of him gets into us, it changes our whole life. You can't meet somebody like Jesus and have a relationship with him and not be changed. You remember the day you fell in love with him? Did you act a little goofy? Yep. I mean, you were so happy you could hardly not tell people how happy you were and what a wonderful thing Jesus had done. He would tell us all, please don't lose that passion. Don't lose that. If you need to stir it up, stir it up. Don't lose that. He's not lost that for us. And love, his kind of love, is not complete unless we give it back. I want you to see, I saw the perfect picture of that in 1 John. If you just flip over to the right from Peter there. 1 John, chapter 4. Verse 17. We're going to read 17 through 19. Love, and this is the God kind of love, has been perfected. And that perfected is brought to maturity, completion. That means that he set out his love and it did, and it accomplished everything he sent it to do. It's been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I want you to see, it doesn't say love casts out fear. It's when that love has been brought to its maturity, God poured his love out for us and said, go ahead, take it. And we take it and we experience it. And now we pour that love back. That's perfect love. When you're receiving that love, you're pouring that love back to him. What are you afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. That's the kind of love that casts out fear. And we all deal with some kinds of fears. I don't care if it's fear of spiders or fear of Muslims. I know people that are afraid of persecution. It's a great fear of theirs that it can happen to them. Maybe we're afraid to stand up and say the name of Jesus. We're afraid to do what he called us to do. We're afraid to say no to some people that we need to say no to. We're afraid of so many things. But when we're in that love bubble, that love that he poured to you, that you received, and now you're pouring back to him, it's like a circle. It just keeps going. That's perfect love. You're not afraid of anything, and you're so satisfied with your love for him and his love for you that you'll do exactly what he says. You want to. You desire to. Let's go on and read this. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been matured in love. Maybe you've received and you haven't given back. Or maybe you lost that passion that you once had. And it says in verse 19, why do we love him like that? It's because he first loved us. That's the perfect circle. God says, I give you my love, now I want you to love me. Because he knows that fulfillment that will happen in us when we love him. He knows the joy and the peace it gives us when we just love him. Because he loved us, because there is nothing like it. And that's what he desires from his people. I think our question today is, can you love him more? Can you let your heart fall in love with him more? Will you? And then show it. I mean, you know how goofy you are the first time you fall in love? I mean, somebody said, bull goose loony. I mean, you're just plain zonkers. You can only think about that person you love. It's like the rest of the world just goes away and you're consumed. You act goofy. You talk goofy. You bore everybody with your talk about the person you love. Jesus says, I want all your love. I want it. God wants all of our love. That's his DNA he wants us to share. Because when I share and accept his love for me, and I love him back, the result is I love what he loves. That's people. That's his goal for us, is to love people. No wonder he wants to love us and for us to receive it. Didn't we all come into the kingdom because somebody who loved God told us? We heard it from somebody, whether it was Billy Graham or your mom. You heard it from somebody who loved God and who loved you. His character, his DNA, is love. I think he would say, Merry Christmas, House on the Rock Church. I love you. And all I want for Christmas is your love. It's your love. The song we did today about pushing back the darkness, that was prophetic when you were singing that, AZ, for our church today. I know that. I could hear him saying it. What will never fail? Love. How will we push back the darkness in this community? Love. How will our hearts change? Love. How about those you've been praying for, that you even struggle praying for because they're such stinkers? Love. I know you know some people like that. I want to share with you something, just a little method that I've learned. Whenever I hear a teacher or a preacher that I think's really got a grip on something like love, I'm going to listen to him. How did you get it? That's what I want to know. How does it grow in you? How did you get it? So I've been listening. I've been taking a few courses online. And what I've been learning was to meditate on the word. Not memorize it for the sake of memorization, but to change my heart so that these words that says God is love and that he loves it gets written on my heart. Not just up here so I can quote it, but it must get written on our heart. And this is just a minor little thing you can do, but it has so blessed and changed things in my heart. I can feel them changing. I can't so much put my finger on and say, this is different and that's different, but I can tell you, I guarantee you, I'm different. And that is 15 minutes before you go to sleep every night. You get your notepad out and a pen, pencil, and you write. You do not get your computer out and type. You don't get your iPad, your notebook, and type it. There's something about, and it's been scientifically proven, that if you write in cursive, you remember it better. So 15 minutes before you go to sleep, you make your confession that you want to see changed, something that agrees with who God is, what he says you are. And I'm just going to share with you my confession from last night. And you write it for 15 minutes. So I wrote my same confession over and over and over and over and over. And what happens is I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about it. And I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking about it. And if I didn't get it, I'll do the same one again, but I'll write it. I'll rewrite it the next night. And it's getting in there and it's deeper. It's different. It's amazing. It's awesome. And I always write on the top of the page the scriptures that I'm basing this on. So last night, after reading 2 Peter chapter 1 for the 100th time this week, just going over it and over it and over it, this is my confession. Love is my goal. Pure God-like love. I will pursue it. I will partake of it. I will experience it. I will give it in return back to God, because love never fails. And I wrote that, and I wrote that, and I wrote that over and over. And this morning I got up and went in my office. God was there. Different. It was like, whoa. You're sitting at my desk, want to talk to me. Wow. And it was, no, I just want to love on you. I went, oh my gosh. Oh my. It's for everybody. If you go after it, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, I think. God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. That's one of those precious promises Peter was talking about, that we receive with this thing we call faith. And he talked about how precious faith was, because it's with our belief in him that we get to receive of who he is, his nature, which Peter learned so well by making so many mistakes. But to end his life and know he's going to die crucified like Jesus, and says, you can partake, you can have those, take those precious promises and partake of the divine nature. Now there's more to God's nature than love, but love, I believe, is number one. I just want to encourage you, go after it. Go after it like your life depends on it. Your life will improve. Love improves your life. God's love improves your life, and you in turn will improve the lives of others. Okay. Can I have the prayer ministers, please? One wonderful thing has happened since we've got a building is new people are coming in that I don't know. And there's people here today I don't know. So I don't know if you know Jesus or not. I don't know if hearing this about love makes you go, I don't get it. I've never had anything like that. This is your day. This is your day. If you want to know Jesus, please come up and just share that with one of the prayer ministers. They will pray with you. The word says it so simple. If you believe in Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, that he's God's son, you'll be saved. See, you don't even have to confess everything to anybody. He said, I want you to believe. You believe Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. He wants you to speak it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. And our prayer ministers will be happy to pray with you if you would like that. Or if you have a request for anything else, or you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, please come up and share that with them and let them lead you. Or any other need you might have. But I just want to bless you before we end here. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love that is out of the box. It is bigger than this world. Jesus. What a lovely name. We love you. We love you. Would you help each one of us to receive more of your love than we ever have before, to let it in to the hidden little parts of our heart. Help us to open to you like we never have before. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in every single life here, and that you have found a home. here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.